At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Before we get to the show, if you want to listen ad-free, go to gzmshows.com/subscribers. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hi, everybody. It's Jonathan. Again, we're on a kind of funny schedule this week. Monday, we republished the first episode of the season. Today, we're doing the second episode, and then we got our brand new third episode on Friday. Another thing that I wanted to let you know about is that this Friday, I'm going to be doing a first chapter Friday with the Chicago Public Library, live on their Facebook page. So I'll be reading from the first book, and I'll be answering questions. A little industry secret, I've already recorded it, so I won't actually be reading live, but I will be live the whole time in the comments section, answering questions, giving out advice, telling jokes, whatever. So if you want to check that out, that's at 4 p.m. Central Time on Friday on the Chicago Public Library's Facebook page, and I will put the link in the show notes so you can find that very easily. All right, here we go. Episode 2, and we will see you on Friday. Hi, and welcome to the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. I am Jonathan Messenger.
Please be seated.
Oh, not this again.
The Honorable Bebop Rubbamogo Wanatron is hiding.
Hiding, Bebop? I think you mean presiding.
What?
You're presiding over the trial, not hiding.
Order in the court.
Sorry?
I will hold you in verklempt.
It's contempt.
Silence. You may approach the bench.
I didn't ask to approach the bench, Bebop.
You will refer to me as Your Honor.
Your Honor.
Bailiff, put this man in a holding cell.
There's no bailiff, Bebop.
Court reporter, read all of this back to me.
There's no court reporter.
Bailiff.
All right. Enough of this kangaroo court, okay? Let's get on with it. If you remember what happened in the last episode, the Marlowe 280 was searching out the Shakespeare 820, but when they found it, it was very spooky, and it was saying Finn's name over and over again. What will happen in the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, Season 7, Episode 2? Reunion. Voice, said Captain Caspian. Right? But what is it saying? Said Finn. Finn heard it before anyone else did. His heart stopped.
Finn's
mother shut it off. Well, that's creepy, said Finn.
Were they saying your name, Finn?
Said Foggy. No, I don't think so, said Finn. That was just a lot of noise. I could understand how you would think that because of the f sounds and the sounds and the n sounds, but
And if you put the F-I-N sounds all together, is that not your name?
Said Foggy. The door to the captain's bridge opened.
Finn, what's happening?
Said Abigail. We saw that weird light and we came running. Elias and Vale ran in after her.
Whoa, spooky,
said Vale. Is that more Meg fireworks?
No, said Abigail. Meg is in my room resting right now.
Okay, everyone, please be quiet,
said Captain Caspian.
We need to think this through.
Finn, I think Foggy is right, and I think you know he is right. I don't like it any more than you do, but I think they were saying your name. Finn turned to his friends and explained what had happened.
Well, what did you say back? Asked Elias.
We haven't said anything yet, said Captain Caspian. We need to think this through before we say something that makes the situation worse.
Mom, said Finn, if they were saying my name and we know Juliana is on the Shakespeare, maybe I should talk to them. Maybe Juliana is trying to reach out.
Captain Caspian shook her head. She clearly didn't like the idea of Finn communicating with whatever was happening on the Shakespeare.
Every once in a while, said Captain Caspian, I like to pretend that I'm the captain of this ship and that I get to decide what we do.
Finn smiled. He knew this meant his mom agreed with him, but that she wanted to make sure it was the best plan.
Oops! Looks like they want to talk to us again, said Captain Caspian.
Nobody says anything. She pushed the button.
This time, the strange, eerie sound did not play over the speakers.
Hello, Shakespeare 820, said Captain Caspian. Please proceed if you have a message for us.
You wish us to proceed?
Finn immediately recognized the sound of Captain Claudius' voice. Last time he heard that voice, Claudius was imprisoning them on the Shakespeare.
My dear Captain Caspian, are you not the ones who sent us the beacon?
Yes, but what about that sound that came over before?
Said Captain Caspian.
Oh, never mind. Is everything okay, Claudius? Your space station is looking awfully green.
That's Captain Claudius? And yes, we're fine. One moment and I will... There we are. That was just a little... experiment.
Claudius, said Captain Caspian.
Captain Claudius,
said Claudius.
Claudius, said Finn's mom again.
Finn smiled at her.
We have a little business to get done with you. You have aboard your space station a Marlow Explorer. It's difficult to explain. There's some time travel involved, and you're...
I will spare you, Captain Caspian,
said Claudius.
We understand. Juliana has explained everything to us, and I assume you are here to what? Rescue her from the dirty, evil Shakespeare 820 and its dastardly Captain Claudius?
Just Claudius, please, said Captain Caspian.
You will address me as Captain,
said Claudius, and the Marlow Bridge erupted in laughter.
Stop laughing! And no, we will not simply hand over Juliana to you all. You must earn her back.
That's not right, shouted Finn. She's our friend. You can't imprison her.
She's hardly imprisoned,
said Claudius.
She's free to get up and move about the station. She's actually moving about better than ever, thanks to us.
Finn didn't know what that meant, but Claudius sounded too pleased with himself. Finn's mom held up a hand.
What is it you want, Claudius?
It's Cap... Oh, forget it.
Claudius sighed.
It wasn't too long ago that you and your Marlow crew cheated your way to victory in the Intergalactic Space Olympics.
We didn't cheat, said Elias. We outsmarted your cheaters, actually.
Only a cheater accuses someone else of cheating,
said Claudius.
That makes no sense, said Abigail.
Regardless, it is time the Shakespeare 820 had a little payback. So we challenge you to another round of three battles. Sporting contests. If you travel a few more light years, there is a green planet forth from its sun. You need to approach the green planet, and then there is a semi-large moon with quite a bit of ice on it, and a tall, inactive volcano with three rings. It's the green planet's only moon with three rings. Really, you can't miss it. There we shall compete in the first annual Great Galactic Games!
That name kind of sounds like a ripoff of the Intergalactic Space Olympics, said Vale.
It's not,
said Claudius. Yeah, and what's so galactic about it, said Elias. It's just happening on a moon.
I agree,
said Foggy.
You should call it the Mediocre Moon Meeting.
Okay, that's enough. Do you accept?
Finn stepped forward. Wait a minute, he said. So you're saying that if we win, Juliana comes back to the Marlow?
Correct.
And what happens if we lose?
Juliana stays with us.
What else happens, Claudius? Said Captain Caspian.
There's just one other itty-bitty prize for us. If we win, the Marlowe agrees to stop its explorations and return to Earth once and for all.
There was total silence on the Marlowe Bridge. Let me speak first, said Captain Caspian. This is an enormous risk for the Marlowe. We have been out here for years looking for a planet where humans could one day live. That is no small mission.
But Mom, said Finn.
And now, said Captain Caspian, we are supposed to put it all on the line by playing in some games we don't even know anything about?
Yeah, but Mom, said Finn.
Let me finish, Finn. And furthermore, we don't know what this moon is really like. We don't know if it is a trap. We don't know if Claudius and the Shakespeare A20 has stacked all of the cards against us, so there is no chance we could ever win. It is a fool's errand.
Finn deflated. He didn't even argue. He knew they had to save Juliana, but everything his mother had just said was right. Everything about this felt like a setup, and leading the Marlowe into it would be a disaster. His mother looked Finn in the eyes and said,
So, I think we should do it.
What?
Said Finn. Troop 301 already defeated these Shakespeare clowns when they were cheating. And Juliana Bunce is one of us, and we don't leave one of us behind. Every astronaut aboard this space station signed up to risk everything for each other.
I can't believe it, said Finn. We're really going to do this.
Yes, said his mother. And besides, if I said no, you four and your robots would just sneak off and fly down there anyway. It's not like you were really waiting for me to give the okay.
Finn laughed. He looked at Abigail. She shrugged. He knew she'd already come up with a plan to steal an explorer pod.
Let's do it, said Captain Caspian. Claudius, you're on!
Great,
said Claudius.
We will meet you there. Oh, and one more thing.
What is it? Said Captain Caspian.
When we win, you will have to call me Captain Claudius.
Never gonna happen, said Finn's mom, turning off the communications. Okay, Troop 301, suit up. We're headed to the... What did you call it, Foggy?
Mediocre moon meeting.
Here we go. Abigail piloted the explorer pod down to the moon. Claudius was right. It was impossible to miss. It was bright green with three bright blue rings surrounding it and a mountain on its north pole. Does anyone else think the green light we saw coming from the Shakespeare is a lot like the green of that planet? Said Vale. And follow-up question, does anyone else think that's a really, really bad sign?
Yep, and yep, said Finn.
But what can we do about it now? Okay, I'm going to land right at the base of the mountain, said Abigail. It looks like the Shakespeare pod is right over there. Abigail flew the pod down near the mountain.
One moment, Abigail,
said Foggy.
What is that?
Abigail pulled up on the controls of the pod. The small ship hovered in the air, about 200 feet above the surface of the moon. Something was coming toward them. It had lifted off the ground and was now soaring straight at them. As it got closer, they could see it looked like a person, but with giant wings extended from its back.
Guys, this is not good, said Vale.
Wait, said Finn. The flying creature came in close to the pod, just outside the ship's large window.
Hi, Finn,
it said. Finn couldn't believe his eyes.
Juliana?
All right, I am here with my son and editor, young Griffin Messenger. Say hi to everybody. Griff.
Hi, hi. Hello.
All right, Griff, how you doing?
Good.
What did you think of that episode?
It was good.
Do you think that the story is following along with Unnaturals?
Yeah.
What do you think is up with Juliana with her wings and everything?
I have no idea. The only hint I have is like Castor.
When Castor is a character in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets wings when he is transformed.
Spoiler alert.
That is about to get beeped.
Well, I think I might have intercepted you in time.
I might not have to beep that. I think I did a vocal beep. My hey, oh yeah. Yeah, and so we're going to be back playing some more Space Olympic games. You got any ideas for any Space Olympic games?
Tackle the Shakespeare.
Tackle the Shakespeare? That doesn't sound like a Space Olympics. That just sounds like a battle mode or something. Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of fun with these games, but also it's obviously serious because the Marlowe needs to find a way to get
Juliana back.
Right, right. I didn't even have to finish that sentence.
There's also the fact that how are you going to turn it back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know what's happened. We don't even actually know 100% that that's her.
True.
Could be some sort of image. Anything else you want to discuss, Griff?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're just going to do jokes today. Okay. We're gonna thank all of our artists on a special episode. So you ready for some jokes?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Joke time.
All right. Today we have two jokes from a brother and sister team from California. First up is Hadley. Take it away, Hadley.
Hi. My name is Hadley, and I am 6 years old, and I am from California. And here is my joke. What does the alien say to Mars? You're looking very hot.
All right, Mars has a fever, I guess. And up next is Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I have a really good joke. What do you call a alien pilot flying down under? A Australian.
That's great. Thank you both so much.
All right. Thank you so much for all those awesome jokes. Griffin, if there's nothing else, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Maybe some characters from Character Club and some sounds from Sound Club included.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, boss. I will get on that and include them in this season. I'm getting the hairy eyeball. anything else? All right, well then, without further ado,
bye, bye, bye.
All right, bye, 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 everybody.
Thanks for coming back and having some more fun with us this week. As always, thank you for your art, thank you for your jokes, thank you for your sounds, thank you for your ideas. We got some really cool character ideas in this week. Thank you for those cool character ideas. And if you want to send anything in, send it to earth@fincaspian.com. The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian is a Gen Z kids production written and produced by Jonathan Messenger, edited and guided by Griffin Messenger, with special thanks to Maria Villanueva. Emerson Messenger is our intern. Music you hear at the beginning and end of every show is by Mark Greenberg, recently voted the nicest human in the multiverse. For more great podcasts for your family, go to bestrobotever.com. Our cover art is by Sir Ian Dingman. And we will see you next week.
Maybe I should get a jury of my peers. But I have no peers.
Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube. Hey, parents and teachers. Have you heard about GZMClassroom.com? It's a website where teachers can get companion resources for everyone's favorite GZM shows. 6 Minutes, Mars Patel, Podcast Title Pending, Seis Minutos, The Res, Becoming Mother Nature, Iowa Chapman and the Last Dog, Treasure Island 2020, The Hollow, Young Ben Franklin, and The Big Fib all have companion resources for additional critical thinking, listening comprehension, and ultimately, creativity. We made them just for you. And oh yeah, they're free. Free! The people on Facebook didn't believe us, but they are F-R-E-E, free. Head to GZMClassroom.com and get yours today.